there will be a willingness to accept the Antichrist. To prepare the way for the world to accept this leader, there will be an increase of Antichrist forerunners that are preparing and brainwashing, and it's happening right now in our public school systems, a complete brainwashing of the United States young people, of our young people in the United States of America. An increase in Antichrist is a sure sign of last times or last days, and we're seeing an increase. These Antichrists will create a spirit of Antichrist among the general population of the world. So then all of a sudden the popular viewpoint, the accepted viewpoint, is not a Bible view of life, but a humanistic view, which humanism is the opposite of biblical view. And, you know, it declares us as gods. Same promise that the devil made, come on, to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He hadn't changed his message any. But, you know, humanism, folks, it just amazes me. On social media platforms, how many Christians are even posting things on their, you know, wallpaper or whatever that are just totally humanistic. I've said this from time to time. If you're going to be in that, be involved in that, listen, you know, I'm not living your life. You can't live my life. But you know, if you're going to post something as truth, put a Bible verse that backs it up. Because I'm seeing stuff all the time that I could put, if I was mean enough, I could post a Bible verse that would blow it out of the water and embarrass Christians. And maybe I ought to, except that'd become a full-time ministry and I don't have time for it. Ridiculous, some of the things. But how much of it is self? How much of it is me? You know, how much of it is, you know, revolves around mankind and not around God? And so, you know, we've got to be careful, because this spirit of Antichrist isn't just being, you know, propagated by a few Antichrist leaders. There are people that are on the internet that's doing nothing but bombarding social media platforms with humanistic Antichrist philosophies. And when you read something, you're not careful. You're going to say, well, yeah, that sounds good. Well, think about it. I'm not asking if it sounds good. I'm asking, is it biblical? Can you back it up with the Word of God? Well, you pass those things on and put it on your social media platform, then, you know, you're helping to propagate the spirit of Antichrist. And if I could think Christians, if they've got the time to be on there and do that stuff, maybe I ought to just post Bible verses. You know you're going to be safe if you're posting what the Word of God says, you know. So, okay, so what is the spirit of Antichrist, preacher, and how can we recognize it? Well, Romans chapter 1, my goodness sakes, just flip there for just a minute or two, because this could be a whole Bible study, and I've gone through this several times with the church, and so it's not the first time you've heard this, but if you haven't written these things in the flyleaf of your Bible, if you would write these things, it would help you to be able to understand Romans chapter 1. You know, there's a certain way that every single civilization that's ever existed in the history of the world has gone to ruin and gone to self-destruction. Right. And it's the same platform that's being used here. There's a pathway here. There's a series of steps here. And how do we get to the point where we create a spirit of Antichrist? By the way, everything I'm going to go through here, I'm going to take you back in a minute to the, you know, as it is in the days of Noah. Okay, how did they get to where they got to before God said, I'm going to have Noah build a boat and I'm going to flood this place and we're going to go back down to one family and start over? I think about that. We start, of course, and I always say, I like to jump all the way up. Again, how much time am I going to take? But verse number 16 talks about the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now that's there purposefully. See, folks, the gospel is what we're supposed to be sharing. The gospel is what we're supposed to be spreading. Okay? And if we're going to be righteous, according to verse 17, then you can never take faith out of the equation. And what the intellectuals want to do is eliminate faith. They want to basically say, you heard it how many times during COVID? You've heard it how many times when they're arguing these issues and trying to advance their agenda. Follow the science. You got to follow the science. You got to follow the science. Well, the Bible talks about science falsely called so. And not all science is science, okay? What claims to be science. So we got to live by faith, okay? Why do you believe in God? I believe by faith. Why do you believe in the 6 days of creation? I believe by faith. I go to this book and choose to believe by faith. By the way, if you believe in evolution, you believe by faith. You weren't there. Yeah, but I've read books. Well, I read a book too. So what you're saying is books written by men, you're going to believe more than a book written by God. Okay, and again, everybody's going to make a choice. Okay, but I can take you to John chapter 3, and he that believeth and he that believeth not. Okay, that's the whole choice. Are you going to by faith? Listen, salvation, you can't be saved without faith. You can't believe the Bible without faith. Well, prove the Bible. I'm not worried about proving the Bible. I've chosen to believe the Bible by faith. And so then we see verse number 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And two great witnesses of the existence of God, verse 19 and 20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God created every single one of us. I believe his hands, the very hands of God, form each and every one of us in our mother's womb. I think I take that from Jeremiah chapter 1. You're not a mistake, okay? You're a one-of-a-kind designer model, and Almighty God made you the way you look, the way you are. He created you, and you know what? He doesn't make junk. He created you on purpose, who you are, so that you could be able to fulfill the divine purposes that he created you to fulfill. And so when he made each and every one of us, he put in every one of us the knowledge that there's a God. Yes, sir. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart. So what does he do? I mean, he's not trying to convince me. He's trying to convince himself. He's trying to shout down that voice that God put in every one of us. Come on. You were a little kid, you walked outside, you looked up there on a dark night, saw those stars, and you know, whether you were in church or not, there was something inside of you that said, something bigger than me made this. Okay? I mean, you felt, you listen, it was wired inside of you. Okay? And so, verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So there's things that God's not going to allow us to see, but there's things that show evidence of him. You know, I say creation has God's fingerprints all over it. So you got two witnesses. The inward voice, and I don't care where you're at. I'm talking about the most, secluded tribe that's left in this world, stuck in a jungle somewhere, are looking up at the same stars that I look up at. And see the same type of, not type of trees, but they see the same creation that I see. And they have the same voice inside of them telling them something big. That's why, you know what? If they don't know about the God of the Bible, what does every one of them do? They create a God. Because they know something did this. Okay? And so everyone in their heart, I'm talking about the most blatant atheist and the biggest reprobate in the world that proclaims that he doesn't believe in God, he has to shout down the voice that's inside of him. Because down deep he knows. That's why he's got to say in his heart there is no God. And then he's got to walk out and look at creation. You know what creation does? It witnesses the presence of God. So what does the devil do to try to get those things, those two witnesses, destroy those two witnesses? He wants you to get to the point where you're a reprobate. Come on, where your conscience is seared with a hot iron. And by the way, by the time we get to this end of the chapter, if you're not careful, you can get there. And he has to come up with an alternative explanation to quiet the witness of God's creation. So Darwin comes along. He writes a book, Origin of Species. And introduced the theory of evolution. And everybody still says it's a theory. Then why is it taught like it's a fact? Okay, and it is. It's not taught like it was a theory. I mean, 800 times in the Origin of Species, you see the phrase, let us assume. 800 times. If I wrote a science book, a science thesis, and 800 times I said, got to the point where I really didn't have proof and I just needed you to make a mental jump with me. Okay, I can't really prove this, but let's assume this. And I did that 800 times. Would anybody read that and say, they'd say, this isn't science. It's not scientific. It's not credible. It's just the babblings of a madman. By the way, a babbling, study Darwin's life. Tragically, I understand, had a daughter die and got bitter against God and turned his heart against God and spent the rest of his life trying to prove there wasn't a God. Don't tell me it was unbiased science. His foolish heart was darkened. Okay? And he allowed himself to be used as a tool of the devil from that point on. Now, we get into verse 21. Beside verse 21, you ought to write atheism. Okay? Atheism. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Verse 23, I'm just going to go through this quick. Evolution. Write evolution beside verse number 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So you've written atheism by verse 21, evolution by verse number 23. Now if you'll go to verse number 24, write the word immorality. Immorality, that's a problem. Once you cancel God out of the equation, decide you don't believe in him, once you accept the theory of evolution, you know what? If you believe you came from an animal, you're going to start acting like an animal. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse number 25, you ought to write beside verse 25, humanism. Humanism. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. And it all goes back to the same thing. You know what? People that choose to not believe in God, they do so for one reason. Please listen to me. They do so for one reason. Because they want to be their own God. They want to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Okay? Yeah, beside verse number 26 and 27, you can write the word homosexuality. Homosexuality. And by the way, this is the downward spiral of a civilization, the destruction of a civilization. All right? So what do we read? For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. Now, verses 28 down through verse number 31, you can write along there, reprobate lifestyle. Because once you get to this point, and you can make an excuse for this level of sin, you're going to accept and become involved easily in anything and everything else that's left. And folks, this is where America is right now. I want you to understand, America is verse 28 through 31. We are becoming a nation of reprobates. We are becoming pagans and heathens. Okay? And I mean, we are. We're treating our bodies like that. I mean, we're reverting back to the jungles. We have the morality, the moral sense of animals. And so after they get to this point, watch this, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. We're going to go to Noah in a minute. They got to this place. They got to this point. There's only one thing left. One more word I'm going to have you write after this one. There's only one more thing that comes after when a nation gets to this point. America better wake up. Okay? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Young people better listen to that. That's the mark of a reprobate. Of a reprobate. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. I'm not going to go through and define and preach on all of that tonight. But verse 32, you write the word judgment. Because when a nation gets to this point, you know what, folks? There's only one thing left that God can do with a nation like that, and that's just destroy it. Okay? That's where Sodom and Gomorrah got to, and God just said, enough. Pull Lot and his family out, and let's just send fire and brimstone down. I wish I didn't have to stand up here. I love America. I love my country. I love the miracle of its history. I love its Christian foundation. We fight every single day to try to keep it and get it back to where it was. But folks, I'm telling you, in the last days, men will wax worse and worse, and we're watching that every single day of our life. Now, okay, so when the world refuses to believe in the God of the Bible, embraces evolution, accepts immorality as normal, tell me this isn't America, elevates mankind to God status, defends sodomy, worships himself instead of the Creator, is determined to engage in reprobate behavior, then the world is ripe to accept the coming of the Antichrist. Not only does that set us up for judgment, but it puts people in the mindset where, you know what, they will accept the Antichrist. Right. They will take the mark of the beast. Yes, they will wear it proudly. Right. Okay? And so what this creates in civilization, by the way, and it's perilous times. Now, you get the whole world to this point, because what you're seeing in America, folks, Europe's 30 years ahead of us. Australia's 30 years ahead of us. Okay? I mean, Europe, compared to us, we're still conservative. And you know, it's because I think of the remnant of Christians that have sat here and fought, tried to fight it back all this time. But I mean, if you had a worldwide view of where people are morally and stuff, you know, we'd look at what's going on in America. And, oh, I mean, you know, like I said, Europe and Australia, 30 years ahead of us. And so, you know, what this does is create a civilization that is ripe for perilous times. These sins create perilous times, okay, which we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That comes from the word of that we get the word chaos from. Difficult times, dangerous times, furious times, fierce times. And it's getting that way in the United States of America. Not just in New York City. Come on, not just in Los Angeles. Not just in Philadelphia, which I told you Sunday, I think 750 murders since Memorial Day. Listen, it's perilous times in rural America. It's getting more and more that way. I mean, perilous times. I mean, you know, we could sit here and talk about the atrocities that have happened since the beginning of the year and the mass shootings. And it's like, you know, you go to Walmart, you got to stop and think about things. You know, because these aren't just happening in big cities. But what is producing that level of violence? I want you to remember the word violence. Perilous times shall come. Okay, the root word means to lower, to bring down, to weaken, perilous times, to create an environment that makes it difficult and dangerous, furious and fierce instead of peaceful and prosperous. And America used to have a spirit of peace and prosperity. It's gone. Come on, the spirit of Antichrist thrives in the incubator of perilous times. You know, morals have been weakened, standards have been dropped, good is declared evil, and evil is declared good. Sin is being normalized, then accepted. Watch it. Normalized, then accepted, then defended, then championed. Now, in order for that to happen, good must be vilified, then persecuted, then outlawed, then exterminated. And that's why I read that fifth seal. You better understand where we're heading, okay? Now, how do you weaken a nation? How do you prepare a free people to accept slavery? How do you transform a moral nation into a nation of reprobates? How do you create perilous times so that the spirit of Antichrist can thrive in that chaos and that wickedness? And what does this eventually create? All right, we've got time. We'll go, like I said, I thought I might get to the second seal, but I'm not going to make it. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, because I think this is important. Because, folks, even though we won't be here when the Antichrist declares himself, don't think that the spirit of Antichrist, we're not going to stand witness to it. We are standing witness to it right now. And I want to say something. I'm going to be a little careful about this, but I want you to understand, and mostly because I've got the children here. And, you know, last thing I need is parents calling me at 2 in the morning saying, you need to come over and settle my child down. You gave him nightmares, okay? So, you know, I try to be careful, but I also, we need a wake-up call. We need a reality check. We need to understand, folks, the United States of America, I mean this, is on a fast track to self-destruction. It really is. And a lot of times we will say, well, because it's getting worse and worse here, and it looks like America's going to destroy itself from the inside out, that must mean Jesus is coming back. Well, folks, you know how many nations self-destructed before we self-destructed? And sometimes it's hard for us as Americans. Are we really seeing the end times and the approaching of Christ? Or are we just seeing what how many other civilizations have seen, the destruction of America, which may or may not coincide? Okay, I guess I want to say this. Listen to me. Do you believe we're going through one day of the tribulation period? No. Do you think we will face tribulation? Yes. Yes. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And then when Jesus pulls the Christians out, that's going to be pull the pin, throw the grenade in, and the Antichrist sees a situation, a global crisis, where people are so terrified and so scared. And here's a man with the answers, and here's a man with the explanations. And to keep it from happening again, we have to do, and he starts writing the list. And people start getting in line because they're terrified. They're terrified not to. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it again. We saw a trial run on it. We saw a little trial run on it during this whole COVID thing. What we will do, what we won't do, think about that. And again, I don't care how you feel about COVID. I don't care how you reacted to COVID. That's not the point. The point is we ought to be able to see the spirit of Antichrist in those things, okay? Now we're Genesis 6, okay? So God got to this place once before in human history where we had gotten so bad. So how did that happen? Again, boy, so much in chapter 6. Came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, those are the descendants of Cain, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, those are the descendants of Seth, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they choose. And what began the process, the downward spiral, is, you know what, people that were worshipers of God began to intermarry with people that were unsaved and did not worship God. Young people, I've blown the trumpet on this, and blown the trumpet on this, and blown the trumpet on this. But you know what? This is what kicked off the downward spiral. We're losing too many of our young people because they will not follow Bible principles when it comes to who they marry in this life. And I'm not going to teach any more on that. But it gets to the point in verse 3 where the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, where the sons of God come in unto the daughters of men, and they bear children of them, they became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, again, I want to stop and teach, but I'm not going to. Look at verse 5. We want to stay on where we're at. And God saw the wickedness of man and was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, I want to ask you a question, because again, I'm trying to prepare Americans. I'm afraid too many American Christians just kind of leaning back and saying, hey, you know what, before it gets too bad, you know, Jesus is going to come back and rapture us. And so, you know what, you know, just kind of got this casual, we better be putting on the armor of God. We better be fortifying our Christian lives in such a way where we can stand against intense persecution. You know, I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime. I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if Blessed Hope Baptist Church has to go underground one of these days before the rapture. All right, you just mark what I just said and remember, you young people. And are you willing to do it? They're doing it in China. They've been doing it in China a long time, and Jesus hasn't come back yet. It's gone a lot worse there than it has here. Don't you think they've, when it was getting bad like that, don't you think the Christians were saying, well, surely Jesus is going to come back. Surely Jesus is going to come back. Well, he hasn't. And they're worshiping in underground churches. The government's going to take our tax-exempt status away from us one of these days. Watch this. I'm going to say something. There'll be a chain and a padlock on that back door back there because we're shut down because of hate speech. There's a good chance that your pastor spends some time in jail. I'm just going to say it out loud because, well, that never, it's happening in Canada right now. It's happening in Europe. Why do we think it's not going to happen here? And again, we're just kind of sitting back. You better decide what you believe. You better get some convictions. You better be willing to stand. Hey, read the book of Acts. The church was born in a time of great persecution. I mean, we took our baby steps being persecuted and martyred and chased and imprisoned. Why do American Christians think we just, you know, God's favorite and we're never going to have to face anything? I want you to think about this. Okay, so it repented the Lord. Now I want to have you jump down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before the Lord, and the earth was, look at the next phrase, filled with violence. Now, I'm going to use this as we launch next Wednesday night, Lord willing, into the next seal. Filled with violence. One of the things you're going to see is this, that even though there is 3.5 years where the Antichrist wants to present himself as the great peacemaker, even during those years, there's going to be an increased persecution of Christians. That's why we get to seal number 5. What are all these souls that are at the throne asking God for justice? Okay, these are those that are during the tribulation period were martyred for the cause of Christ. You mean people are going to be left here at the rapture? No, all the saved people are going. Well, what does that mean then? It means some people are going to get saved after the rapture. By the way, God's grace and mercy is amazing. I personally don't believe it'll be anybody that's already had a chance to be saved before the rapture. I don't believe that. But that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of people that's never been given a clear plan of salvation. Well, you say over in some other country. No, in America. Come on, gospel preaching churches have done such a lousy job in the last 25, 30 years of even getting the gospel to their community that there's going to be a lot of people that have never heard the gospel in America. But if they get saved, all they do is put a big target on themselves. Yep. And they're going to start being the persecuted ones and the hunted ones. Well, that could never happen. I tell you, every single year of my life, I read at least one book on World War II. And I read at least one book on the Holocaust. It's already happened. Where a certain group of people or groups of people are just declared as nuisances that need to be exterminated. And men created that. By the way, influenced by the devil. Again, could that just have been a trial run? Hey, you got them to do it once, and all the Christians are gone. And the explanation, I believe, the lie that the Antichrist is going to propagate is going to also say that the most dangerous people in the world and the real reason that we have this chaos and what we just experienced is because of these handful of Bible-believing Bible-toting people that ignore science and ignore common sense and believe in fantasies and fairy tales, and this is why we're where we are at today, and he's going to begin to build an animosity and a hatred towards Christians. And then he's going to get to the point where he is exterminating Christians. That's why we get seal number 5. So it's filled with violence. The earth also was corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence. Here comes that second horse riding in. Okay, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, let me stop and say a couple things. All right, when we read these verses in verse number 11, 12 of Genesis chapter 6, was Noah still here? Okay, had it gotten so bad that there was only one family that was still doing right? And yet we've got this idea that, you know, hey, we don't have to worry about anything, you know. Jesus is going to come pull us all out of this for anything. Who said? Who said? Where do you get it? It said, as in the days of Noah. Now, I'm not saying we'll be down to just one family that still believes in Christ, but I believe we'll be down into a very minute, and that it's going to cost them to do it. Okay? And so if the earth is being filled with violence, and that's the way it was in the days of Noah, all the things we're watching right now in the United States of America, we're becoming unhinged. I mean, we've got a bunch of people that are acting like animals, and they have no respect for life. And I mean, violence is just like breathing to them. And they are pulling this stuff over and over and over. And folks, we got to be alert. We got to wake up. Second seal we'll talk about. But look in verse 3 and 4 real quick. Go back, if you will, to Revelation. And look at verses, chapter 6. Nope. Yep, chapter 6 of Revelation. And let's look at verses 3 and 4. And I'll kind of introduce this thought so you can mull it over, okay? And then we'll pick up and teach about it. But all of a sudden, folks, you know, he has taken these first 3.5 years to declare to be a man of peace while he's secretly already planning war against both the Jews and born-again Christians. Now, we get into verse, all of a sudden, 3.5 years, we're into it, and the Antichrist goes into the rebuilt temple and sits upon the throne, declares himself as God. And then we'll begin to read about him farther into the book of Revelation, where that's where he begins to demand that, you know what, you'll take my mark, or you won't buy, you won't sell. And all of a sudden, you know, where he was playing around for a while, doing it underneath, now all of a sudden it's just public, it's just out there. And so then, when he had opened the second seal, verse 3, I heard the second beast say, come and see. There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, to take peace from the earth. Whatever peace there was that he pretended that he created was a pretend peace, a temporary peace. And now he's going to declare war and take peace from off the earth. And that they should kill one another. And you know what, folks? This whole abortion thing, look right up here. If we can justify in our hearts, you know, the killing of 61 million unborn babies, we've already conditioned a generation, if they'll not only accept that, but fight for the right to do it. Right. Riot, picket, vandalize, burn, then we've already cheapened life. Now, again, remember, Christians are gone. A handful of us that actually believe life is sacred, for the most part, we're gone. And you know what? They're going to look around and all of a sudden war is going to break out. And you know, what does war produce? Seal number 3, famine. I mean, you know, study the history of war. Any place that there's war in a country, famine follows it. That's right. Guess what follows war and famine? Death. Okay, I mean, you can just read history and understand that as soon as an area or region breaks into war, all of a sudden the supply chains are disrupted. People can't get food. All of the norm is gone, and it's like every man's for themselves. Next thing you know, there's a food shortage. There's usually a shortage of purification of water. I mean, if you don't have clean water and you don't have food, you're in trouble. I mean, you're in trouble pretty quick. Okay? And so, you know, here we go on through here, you know. And then I'm going to save this for next week. But notice the last little phrase there in verse number 4. So they are now in the mindset of killing one another. Whatever I have to do to survive, if somebody has something and I don't have it, I will kill them to get it. And we're going to see. It says power was given to down in the chapter to kill a fourth of the population as a result of setting this system up. One fourth, folks, over 8 billion people. So 2 billion people will be eliminated during the breaking of the seals. More are going to be eliminated as we look at the other things, but one fourth of the population is going to be eliminated. You know why? Because we've cheapened life. We've removed Christian values, how we look at each other, how we're supposed to biblically care for each other. I mean, all that's going to be gone. Every man for himself. And then it says this at the end, and there was given unto him a great sword. I want you to ponder that and think about that. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, as we open the Word of God. And Lord, we do trust in you. We do put our faith in you. Safety is of the Lord. And Lord, we count on you to take care of us and watch over us. We also need to understand that many, many, many generations of Christians around the globe have been asked to have to suffer tribulation, suffer persecution. And Lord, it very well may come to the United States of America. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us as we unfold this to keep the right perspective, keep our priorities right, and, Lord, that we would be busy always about the main thing, trying to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even though we may have to suffer some tribulation, it's nothing in comparison to what those left behind will have to face. So I pray, Lord, help us to be busy, conscious of lost souls. Maybe we ought to grab some more tracks, all of us, on our way out tonight. Maybe we ought to talk to that loved one that we've been putting off talking to about. Maybe we ought to witness that co-labor. Maybe, you know, the young people here need to seek out that neighbor kid or a kid that they go, maybe they go to the public school with and talk to them about the Lord. Lord, help us to be bold in our faith, we pray in Jesus' name.